back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
This week with Shamabil Jakob. Morena, how are you, Shamabil?
I'm Morena, very good, thanks.
Thank you so much for speaking to us this morning. It must be a very busy week for you talking about the government's COVID-19 response package, which is what we're going to talk about this morning as well. I thought we'd start by just asking, how is this comparing to what other countries have done around the world, Shamabil?
Yeah, very positively, actually. So the government announced a package that was $12 billion. Now, to give you a bit of context, relative to our economy, that's about 4%.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the announcements we've seen around the world are somewhere between 0.5% to 1.5%. So we're at least twice as big as the next biggest one.
So that's quite impressive, really. And for a small country as well, that's hopefully going to make a big difference. What are the big spending areas of this package?
Well, I mean, there are sort of four key areas. The first one is very much around boosting our health system, because we need to make sure our health staff are well-resourced, they have the right equipment, the protective stuff. That's going to mm-hmm. take a lot of money, and it's going to be required over coming months, for many months, in fact.
Mm.
The next big part was really at a very short-term focus, just over the next 6 months, to try and preserve jobs and businesses, because we know that this virus is having a really big impact on essentially people moving around, tourism, trade. Everything is being affected in a really big way. In a much bigger way than we have seen in living memory.
Mm-hmm.
So we might see lots of job losses and business failures. So this is all meant to try and blunt that. It's not going to stop businesses failing or jobs being lost, but it should reduce it. And there's quite a lot of stuff around essentially trying to provide support to businesses, mainly around tax breaks, delaying of taxes, those kinds of things, again, to try and sort of keep businesses around so that as and when we get back to more normal times, we can produce stuff and do things.
Mm-hmm.
And the very final part is a lift in benefits. So the poorest and the most vulnerable will have a little bit more money in their bank accounts, $25 a week. But it also leaves that those people who lose their jobs won't have a significant decline in incomes. So, you know, there's quite a lot of detail and all those kinds of things in the package, but it's very much around a lot of money up front so then we can essentially deal with the shock that is unprecedented in living memory.
Something that's been quite notable, I guess, about this package has been how it focuses as well on spending money on sole traders and small businesses. Of course, we are a country that has a large part of the population working within the gig economy and also in those small businesses. Have you been impressed or pleased with how that has been supported through this package?
I'm very pleased, because those are the people who are most vulnerable, because their income is precarious, their jobs are precarious. And we know that if there is a stand-down period, for example, to access welfare and those kinds of things, these people are living in real hardship and they may not be able to pay their rent or buy food. So, you know, this is really welcome and something that was, I think, well articulated in the lead-up to this as well. So, no, I wasn't surprised, but I was very pleased to mm-hmm. see it, because this absolutely needed to happen, because it's that small end of town that's going to feel the brunt of it first. And we're going to see more policies coming. So we've got the budget coming out in May. We're going to see way more policies coming out then. So this is not the end. This is just the beginning.
What are you anticipating seeing from that May budget? Because, of course, the government has been indicating more money will be on the way.
Oh, I mean, we know it's more money. It's just a question of how is that money going to be spent and where is it going to be needed. And the great uncertainty right now is it's such a moving feast. We don't actually know how bad it's going to be or how long it's going to last, right? So a lot of the policies the government has to think about is around how do we cushion the impact on the citizens of New Zealand? How do we still have enough income so then we can go about our daily lives, have some dignity in our lives, and also try and at the same time make sure we still have the capacity in terms of businesses and jobs so that when the recovery comes, because it will come once the infection has peaked, how can we recover from there? And the more resilient we are through the downturn, the stronger and sooner the recovery will happen. So it's a really tough balancing act, but I feel very confident because New Zealand is in such a great position, right? We have almost no debt. Our net debt to GDP is 20%. Relative to the world, that's nothing. We could easily go up to, say, 40%, and nobody would have bat an eyelid.
Mm.
And that means we've got probably a war chest that's around $60 billion. So we're talking some serious money, and I would like to see the government really putting in some big policies that not just spends money, but thinks about how do we put our economy in a more sustainable path, both in terms of the environment, but also in terms of how do we invest in things like good infrastructure, housing, da-di-da, and start to rethink things like, you know, is it really a good idea to have a student loan scheme that impoverishes the students and gives them a bad start in their working lives? So there's some pretty big things that will need to be thought about, but don't expect it in this May budget.
One thing that has been flagged by a few people is that students weren't specifically mentioned within this. What are your thoughts around this? And do you think that there should have been some catchment for that?
No, I don't think so. You know, most students will be working, so, you know, or you'll be getting the student allowance, or you'll have some other other means of making ends meet. So nothing has happened to student allowances or any other entitlements that you have now. So right now, the education industry is probably your institutions that are more at risk than the students themselves, because the education sector receives about $1 billion of fees from foreign students, and that market has really been disrupted. So it's quite likely that we're going to see massive amounts of disruption in the education sector over the coming year or years. So, you know, the government unfortunately can't deal with everything. This is very much a crisis response. So this would be how do we get something in right now? And right now, students are not at major risk other than losing their jobs in a lot of the kinds of industries that students usually work.
And so in that sense, they would be covered under other parts of the budget.
Exactly, which is why I think having very few restrictions and accessing those things was really good, because it means that at least people are able to access income, so you're not affected. And the focus of the wage subsidy program in particular was important, because that's $5 billion being spent in 3 months. That is a hell of a lot of money.
That is a hell of a lot of money. Hey, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it. It's great to break down such a big economic package with you, Shamabeel. I'm sure we'll talk to you again in the future. Thank you for speaking to us.
Thanks.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with